ओम भद्रं कन्ने भश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमस्ते गणपतये त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्त्वमसि त्वमेव केवलं कर्तासि त्वमेव केवलं धर्तासि त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि त्वमेव सर्वं खल्विदं ब्रह्मासि त्वं साक्षादात्मासि नित्यं ऋतं वच्मि सत्यं वच्मि अवत्वं माम् अववक्तारम् अवश्रोतारम् अवदातारम् अवधातारम् अवानोचानमवशिष्यम् अवपश्चात्तात् अवपुरस्तात् अवोत्तरात्तात् अवदक्षिणात्तात् अवचोर्ध्वात्तात् अवाधरात्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् त्वं वाङ्मयस्त्वं चिन्मयः त्वमानन्दमयस्त्वं ब्रह्ममयः त्वं सच्चिदानन्दाद्वितीयोऽसि त्वं प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वं ज्ञानमयो विज्ञानमयोऽसि सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तो जायते सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तस्तिष्ठति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि प्रत्येति त्वं भूमिरापो नलो निलो नभः त्वं चत्वारि वाक्पदानि त्वं गुणत्रयातीतः त्वम् अवस्थात्रयातीतः त्वं देहत्रयातीतः त्वं कालत्रयातीतः त्वं मूलाधारस्थितोऽसि नित्यं त्वं शक्तित्रयात्मकः त्वां योगिनो ध्यायन्ति नित्यं त्वं ब्रह्मा त्वं विष्णुस्त्वं रुद्रस्त्वमिन्द्रस्त्वमग्निस्त्वं वायुस्त्वं सूर्यस्त्वं चन्द्रमास्त्वं ब्रह्म भूर्भुवःस्वरो गणादिं पूर्वमुच्चार्य वर्णादिं तदनन्तरम् अनुस्वारः परतरः अर्धे इन्दुलसितं तारेण रुद्धम् एतत्तवमनुस्वरूपं गकारः पूर्वरूपम् अकारो मध्यमरूपम् अनुस्वारश्चान्त्यरूपम् बिन्दुरुत्तररूपम् नादसन्धानम् संहिता सन्धिः सैषा गणेशविद्या गणकर्षिः निच्छृद्गायत्री छन्दः गणपतिर्देवता ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ एकदन्ताय विद्महे वक्रतुण्डाय धीमहि तन्नो दन्तिः प्रचोदयात् एकदन्तं चतुर्हस्तं पाशमङ्कुशधारिणम् रदं च वरदं हस्तैर्बिभ्राणं मोषकध्वजम् रक्तं लम्बोदरं शूर्पकर्णकं रक्तवाससं रक्तगन्धानुलिप्ताङ्गं रक्तपुष्पैः सपूजितम् भक्तानुकम्पिनं देवं जगत्कारणमच्युतम् आविर्भूतं च सृष्ट्यादौ प्रकृतेः पुरुषात् परम् एवं ध्यायति यो नित्यं स योगी योगिनां वरः ॐ नमो व्रातपतये नमो गणपतये नमः प्रमथपतये नमस्तेऽस्तु लम्बोदराय एकदन्ताय विघ्ननाशिने शिवसुताय वरदमूर्तये नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः recite all these suktams regularly in our Saturday classes in London. Now, because online, we reduced everything. No more chanting. No? So it's a Saturday. It's very important to invoke the grace of Bhagavan. Some form or the other. We used to sit all three suktams every class. In South London class especially. And now, online we reduced everything. Okay. Tritiya mundake dvitiyaha khandaha. Vitiya khandaha. Savedaitat paramam brahma dhama. Yatra visvam nihitam bhati shubhram. Upasate purusham yehya kamaha. Te shukrame tadativartanti dhiraha. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Sakama bharjayate tatra tatra. Paryapta kamasya krtatmanastu. Ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha. Namedhayana bahunashutena. Yamevaisha vrunutetena labhyaha. Tasesha atma vivrunutetanum swam. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nacha pramadat tapasovapya lingat. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nacha pramadat tapasovapya lingat. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. Samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha. Kritatmano vitaragaf prashantaha. Te sarvagam sarvataf prapya dhiraha. Yuktatmana sarvameva vishanti. Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaha. Sanyasa yoga yataya shuddha sattvaha. Te brahma loke tu paranta kale. Paramrita parimuchyanti sarve. Gatah kalah panchadasha pratishtha. Devascha sarve pratidevatasu. Karmani vijnana mayascha atma. Parevyaye sarve eki bhavanti. Yathanadyasyandamana samudre. Astam gacchanti namarupe vihaya. Tatha vidvan namarupa vimuktaha. Parat param purushamupaiti divyam. Sayoha vaitat paramam brahma veda. Brahmaiva bhavati. Nasya brahma vitkule bhavati. Tarati shokam tarati papmanam. Guha granthibhyo vimukto mruto bhavati. Tadetadrucha bhyuktam. Kriyavanta shotriya brahmanishtaha. Swayam juhvata ekarshim saddhayantaha. Teshame vaitam brahma vidyam vadeta. Shirovratam vidhivadyestu chirnam. Tadetat satyam rishirangiraha. Purovacha. Tadetat satyam rishirangirah purovacha. He had to bring rishirangiraha to the second line. Tadetat satyam rishirangirah purovacha. Naitadachirna vrato dhite. Namav paramarishibhyo namav paramarishibhyaha. Iti mundako panishadi tritiya mundake dvitiya khandaha. Okay. We have seen Ayamatma Pravachanena na Labhyaha Medhayana Labhyaha na Bahunashrutena Labhyaha Bahunashrutena na Labhyaha Yameva Yeshaha Vrunute Tena Labhyaha. Tasya yesha atma vrunute stanum swam. So in this verse we saw, atma reveals itself to the one who chooses the atma, which means who becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam. Of course, one must go through the discipline of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam to have the urge of the atma. Of course, one must become mentally pure and steady. And of course, unless a person lives a life of karma yoga, it is not possible for one to be qualified to have the vision of Paramatma Swarupam. But unless you have purushartha nischayaha, unless you become committed to the pursuit of jnanam, even living a life of karma yoga, even having mental purification, even studying the shastram will not make any sense. Is it clear? So yameva, simply I go and listen and listen and listen, but still nothing becomes revealed because there must be thirst for the vision. Then one must choose. Okay, choosing means what? I must discover my own Swarupam. I must discover the truth of the Swarupam, of the Bhagavan, the whole. Because it is in discovering this truth my moksha is. With this total commitment one must be given to the pursuit of jnanam. Then for such a person, atma becomes revealed. Because the firmness in one's commitment must be there. And we have already seen, haven't we? Yes. We'll move on to the next mantra. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nacha pramadat tamaso vapya lingat. Nacha pramadat tamaso vapya lingat. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nacha pramadat tapaso vapya lingat. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nacha pramadat tapaso vapya lingat. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. Okay. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Nacha pramadat tapaso vapya lingat. Yetairupayair yatate yastu vidvan. Tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. This is the mantra. Okay. So, atma jnanam. We are already very clear. Definitely, the physical body is an abode of enjoyment, which is a product of matter in the form of elements. It is an object of knowledge. And even subtle powers are objects of knowledge. Powers of organs of actions are objects of knowledge. Five physiological functions are objects of knowledge. All our emotions which constitute antahkaranam objects are objects of knowledge. Our intellect, our knowledge, perception, understanding, etc. are objects of knowledge. Memory is object of knowledge. Ahankara, even the knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is also an object of knowledge. Therefore, all these objects of all these constitute an individual human being. So what is that which is distinct from the individual human being is the knower. The knower of ahankara. The knower of the knowledge of one's own self-existence, the knower of memory, the knower of intellect, the knower of emotions, the knower of pranas, the knower of powers, jnanendriyani karmendriyani, the knower of the body, is distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. And that knower is only a qualification attributed to the Atma. So discovering who the knower is, discovering who the Atma, what the Atma is. So distinguishing the knower, then differentiating the knower from the known, we arrive at the reality. Obtaining in an abstract, subtlest form, in the form of pure consciousness. It is not enough we simply understand it. It must be repeatedly dwelt upon. It must be assimilated. That we must see very clearly the consubstance of the substantive I being pure consciousness. One must and see the same consciousness being the truth of the whole. So one must be able to be convinced that Aham Brahma Asmi. And one must revel in that vision. Only then we can say Atma is available. So, it sounds easy, really speaking. To have that clear, ascertained vision of that Atma Swarupam, definitely one must have that mental preparedness, which presupposes certain disciplines. Therefore, in this third Mundaka, second chapter, fourth mantra, in this mantra, Upanishad presents those qualifications in terms of sadhanani, chatvari sadhanani. Upanishad presents four qualifications, sadhanani, in this mantra. What are those qualifications? He said, Ayam Atma Balahinena Nalabhyaha. Means this Atma cannot be attained. Atma cannot be attained, obtained. The Atma is not available. Nalabhyaha. Atma is not available for the weak. Balahinaha means balarahitaha. Balahinaha means buddhihinaha. Means one who is devoid of buddhi. Balahinaha, one who is devoid of strength. A weak person. Atma cannot be attained in terms of jnanam. Atma is not available for the one who is weak. Means, so strength is the first sadhanam. Balam means strength. So Upanishad presents balam, strength, as the first discipline. First discipline, a first qualification. A person who is aspiring for spiritual knowledge must be strong, must have strength. So balam is the first qualification. Then, nacha pramadat. So pramadat. Pramadaha means indifference. Pramadaha means indifference. Also confusion. Indifference means what? Negligence. Pramadaha means indifference. Being indifferent means being negligent. So negligence. Negligence implies not being serious. So pramadat na labhyaha means Atma is not available for the one who is not serious in his commitment. Pramadaha implies not being serious, being casual in one's approach, being negligent. So pramadaha implies here, even though it means indifference, it implies negligence. So pramadaha, the person who is not serious, who is very casual in his approach. For him, Atma is not available. Therefore, that is the Pramadat Nachalabhyaha means what is implied by this, one must have apramadaha. So balam is the qualification. Balam is the means. One must have strength. If pramada will not be helpful in attaining jnana means, one must have apramadaha. Apramadaha means what? Not being negligent, being serious in one's approach. Apramadaha, one already we have seen that commitment. Same thing. So firm commitment is implied by the word apramadaha. Third, now we say, tapasovapyalingat. Tapasahava api alingat. So, tapasaha. So, the next thing what we need is tapasaha. Wow. One needs tapas. Tapas is the third sadhanam, third qualification. Tapas means penance, austerity. We'll explain later on. Then, alingat nalabhyaha. Alingat. So, alinga, atma cannot be attained by alinga. Means, one must have linga. So, what does this linga mean? So, we'll see one by one. Lingam, the word linga has so many meanings. Please be careful. I'll explain Shivalingam also later on. The word linga has so many meanings. But here, Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary mentions sannyasa as the meaning of linga. Sannyasaha is also a qualification. So what is sannyasaha? We'll explain. Alingata means sannyasaha implies again vairagyam. Alingata means if there's no passion, for a person who is highly passionate towards things also cannot attain the knowledge of Atma. So, alingat. It means one needs lingam. So, linga implies sannyasaha. So, what are those four? I am Atma balahinena na labhyaha. Pramadat na labhyaha. Tapasaha va apina labhyaha. Alingatana labhyaha. Which means, one needs strength. One needs balam. Balena labhyaha. Balahinena na labhyaha means, I am Atma balena labhyaha. Atma is available for the one who is strong. One who has strength. Nacha pramadat labhyaha means, Atma pramadatana labhyaha, apramadat labhyaha. Apramadaha, I said, serious commitment in one's pursuit. Then tapasaha. Tapas also, even practicing penance, by practicing penance one cannot attain Atma means. Here, what does the word tapas mean? We have to understand. Tapas is still a qualification. Alingat, non-denunciation. So, linga implies renunciation, which means one needs balam, apramadaha, tapas and lingam. A person who has these, who is endowed with these four things, factors, alone is eligible for attaining Atma, attaining the knowledge of Atma. Yetaihi upayaihi yahatu yatate. Yahatu yatate. A person who ever makes effort. Yatate means makes effort. Yaha. Yetaihi upayaihi. Yaha. Vidwan yatate. The person who makes efforts to attain the knowledge of the Atma with these qualifications, means with these sadhanas, with balam, apramadaha, tapas and lingam, tasya eshaha atma, tasya eshaha atma vishate brahmadhama. For him, the person who makes efforts to discover atma with these sadhanas, such a person's mind enters into Brahman. Brahmadhama, the abode of Brahman. It's a literal translation. Brahmadhama, an abode of Brahman. Vishate enters. What does it mean? It's not literally entering. Literally it means tasya, for such a person, yeshaha atma, his mind, this enters into Brahman. Means becomes one with Brahman. He attains the wish. Attaining the knowledge of Brahman is becoming one with Brahman. Becoming one with Brahman means me alone is said to be entering into Brahman. This is the literal translation of the mantra. I'll again explain. Now, let us understand one by one. So, strength, always we talk about this strength. No, balam is a neutral gender word which means strength. The strength actually, we think balam, the strength is of twofold. One is physical strength. People go to gym and then they practice run every day and we're physically very fit. So physical fitness or physical strength, physical stamina is also meant by the word balam. But here we have to understand emotional strength, mental strength, emotional strength. And in this word balam, one must be emotionally strong. Emotional strength is meant by the word balam. So a person who is aspiring for self-knowledge must have emotional strength. Emotional strength alone is said to be strength required for spiritual wisdom. And how can one attain emotional strength? Now the next question, okay, I need to be emotionally strong in order to attain knowledge of the self. So Atma, you know, never need to attain Atma. Atma is always there as your Swarupam. See, Bhagavan is always there as your own Swarupam. When is wave away from water? Never a time wave is away from water. Never a time anything is away from, any object is away from space. Everything exists in space. Similarly, your mind always exists in space, in Atma, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Never a time, not a fraction of time, no place, no time, never is Atma, mind, I mean you are away from your Swarupam. Atma is never away from you. The only thing is the question of discovering it, claiming it as oneself. And in order to claim that consciousness implied by the term Atma, always available as one's own Swarupam, one's mind must be ready for it. For which the first qualification is what? Balam. One must be emotionally strong. Of course, one must be physically healthy as well. That's a different thing. But definitely one must be emotionally strong. An emotionally weak person cannot achieve. Emotional weakness is meant by the word balahinam. Balahinaha means the person who is emotionally very weak. One must be emotionally strong. Okay. So, in fact, one must be emotionally strong to achieve anything in life. Accomplish anything, artha, kama, dharma, to pursue anything, one must have certain degree of emotional strength. And what about Atmajnanam? One must be emotionally strong. And emotional strength, otherwise said to be spiritual strength, is accomplishable only if a person has no fourfold qualifications. What are they? one must have definitely purusharthan nischeha. See, your emotional strength will be in keeping with your purusharthan nischeha. If you are 100% convinced of the fact that moksha is the ultimate choiceless absolute end, the human life becomes a life, complete successful life only in discovering moksha. That moksha is my choiceless end. Vida pair. If that is there, then if a person is committed to the pursuit of moksha, having moksha as the ultimate goal, then mokshatvam is the first qualification. Then, knowing the value of moksha, as a moksha, one will have what naturally? Vivekaha. One must have viveka. Okay, what is that which can give me moksha? What is that which cannot give me moksha? The moksha that is sought after by me is everlasting moksha. Nobody will aspire for temporary relief. Whenever you want to be relieved of any problems, you want to be relieved of the problem permanently. Let me be relieved for time being and after it, the problem come back again. Nobody will think. Similarly, here moksha, we are all interested in permanent, everlasting freedom. Of course, moksha is one's own sorupam. And for that, only a time bound, anything which has a beginning, which has an end, which is subject to change, cannot be of the nature of moksha. The permanent thing alone can be of the nature of permanent moksha. So understanding a time bound thing, time bound object, a time bound pleasure, which has a beginning and an end, subject to change, cannot be a means of attainment of moksha. Thereby, only a permanent thing alone can give me permanent moksha. If a person has this understanding, naturally, this is what is said to be nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent. One's own life's experiences will teach a person nothing in the world is permanent. Everything is ashashvatam. There's nothing, nothing, nothing in the world which is permanent. Everything has a beginning. Everything is subject to change. Everything has an end. Including relationships. Everything. Therefore, nothing in the world is reliable as a means of attainment of moksha, permanent freedom. And what is that one thing which alone is permanent? Shastram says, of course, if there's only one thing which is permanent, that is the reality. That reality alone is implied by the term Brahman or Atma. We say absolute reality. There's only one vastu which is said to be reality, because the very fact we call it reality because it is free from time limitations. All limitations. Therefore, it is Atma or Brahman, which alone is permanent. Therefore, this is Atma must be of the nature of moksha. Atma alone, Atma or Brahman, the permanent thing alone can give me permanent moksha. With this understanding, one can have dispassion also. So, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha means discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent. Everything in the world is impermanent. Brahman is the only permanent thing. This understanding becomes strengthened only when you are exposed to the Shastra study. Then nitya anitya vastu viveka, if a person has, then naturally his viveka will lead a person to vairagyam. Vairagyam means what? Dispassion. Dispassion is a beautiful expression of maturity. One can become mature means what? Naturally, you will grow out of desire for time-bound things which are subject to limitations, because that they cannot give you what you're aspiring for absolutely in life. As I am aspiring for moksha, and moksha is something what I'm seeking is a permanent relief, and time-bound things in life cannot give me timeless, everlasting moksha. This understanding will help a person grow out of desire for time-bound things. Naturally, you will have passion for the knowledge of the truth, because it is the knowledge of the truth which alone can give me what I am searching for. This deep understanding of what I am searching for can be given only by Atmajnanam. What I am searching for cannot be given by anything else in the world. This understanding helps a person to become naturally grow out of desire for all time-bound things in the world. This naturally growing out for desire for all time-bound things in the world alone is said to be Vairagyam, dispassion. Okay, so if Mukshutvam, first qualification, second qualification is Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha, discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent. The thirdly, the dispassion towards all time-bound things. And because of one's passion for jnana, which alone can give what one seeks in life. Then, it's not enough. One must have six-fold disciplines. Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi. Shamaha, mastery over one's ways of thinking, mastery over one's thoughts. Shamaha. So, shamaha. Shamaha means mastery over one's ways of thinking, mastery over one's thoughts, one's desires. I'll explain it on. Mastery over one's emotions is shamaha. Then damaha means mastery over one's sense organs. Shamaha, damaha. Uparamaha. Uparamaha means being focused in one's own duties. So withdrawing oneself from unnecessary activities, being focused on one's own duties is uparamaha. Then titiksha. Titiksha means forbearance, tolerance. Titiksha means learning to remain the same in all situations. Titiksha, having samatvam, learning to remain balanced in all situations, learning to endure undesirable situations also. The endurance, forbearance, tolerance, implying learning to remain the same in all situations is titiksha. Then Shraddha. Shraddha is very important qualification. Shraddha means having tremendous reverence for Shastram and having unflinching faith in the teachings of the Shastram. And Shastram being the means of knowledge, that is Shraddha. Then Samadhanam means being focused. Samadhanam implies single-pointedness or being focused. Being focused means, okay, moksha is my end. I'm committed to the pursuit of jnanam. So, of course, to live this life, one must be involved, one must involve oneself in all forms of activities. You have to earn your money. You have to do your duties. You have to live a household life. You must be doing so many things. But whatever you are doing, you never lose sight of your ultimate goal being moksha. It's called being focused. Yes, I go out, I do this, I do this, I do so many things, I earn money, but I never, never lose sight of my goal being moksha and jnana. So this is said to be being single-pointed minded, means having focus, being focused in one's life. That is Samadhanam. So these are the six disciplines. The six disciplines form one qualification. So totally there are four qualifications. Mukshutvam, Vivekaha, Vairagyam. Then we say Vairagyam, disciplines. these disciplines are said to be Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi. The wealth of sixfold discipline, the wealth of sixfold disciplines in terms of Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. If these fourfold qualifications are there, then you will be emotionally adequately strong. How can I become strong emotionally? See that you have these four qualifications in order to be emotionally strong. So this is the first sadhanam, first qualification highlighted in this mantra. I must be emotionally strong in order to be eligible for having the vision of the Atma. And to have emotional strength, I must have these fourfold qualifications. Now the next question comes, how can I have these fourfold qualifications? Shastram says, live a life of Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? That I won't explain here. Understand? Okay. Next. Karma Yoga we'll see in Bhagavad Gita class. Again, I'll explain it on also here. Okay, next. So, na ayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Next, na cha pramadat. So, repeatedly I tell you, we have to become emotionally strong. In order to have that inner strength, emotional strength, no way. I must have these qualifications, fourfold qualifications. And for those fourfold qualifications, I have to worshipfully, prayerfully live a life of dharma, live a life of karma yoga governed by dharma. Okay, next. Na cha pramadat atma labhyaha means, as I told you already, pramadaha means negligence or being casual, not being serious. So, one must have apramadaha. Apramadaha means, now even the study of Vedanta Shastram, now we are all sparing time, every Saturday we are sparing 2 hours or 1.5 hours for studying Upanishad means, the study of the Upanishad should not be for simply somehow to pass your time. It must be a serious effort. One must have Shraddha. There must be total commitment. And one must read the mantra. Oh, if I read the Upanishad, understand this mantra, will it help me understand Shastram? All those doubts should not be there. Whatever is being said by the teacher in the class, with the reference to the mantra, I must have Shraddha, even if it is repetition. Sometimes things are being repeated, not by the teacher, in the mantra itself repeats. See, now you can see that the whole mantra repeats what all you already know. Still, without feeling tired, without feeling any bored, even if you feel bored, you must ignore the boredom. And there must, with commitment, seriously, one must read the mantra, understand the words, and try to understand what the words say. And if what the teacher says is not clear, also you must feel free to ask the teacher for clarification. Don't need to simply remain quiet. Whatever teacher says, let me listen. No, see that you really understand. So there must be commitment. So again, this, what the previous mantra emphasized, one important qualification, this commitment. Only the firm commitment alone was emphasized in the previous mantra. That firm commitment alone is again meant by the word apramadaha. So you must be committed to attain the jnanam. If you are not committed, jnanam cannot be attained. That is said in this mantra. Apramadat. So pramadat atmana labhyaha means, If you are not serious, you are very, very casual in your approach. There's no commitment. Atma cannot be attained in terms of jnanam. So if a person becomes committed, being committed implies what? Having firm commitment implies having the priorities, being clear about one's priorities. I'm repeating. Having firm commitment to the pursuit of jnanam for attaining moksha implies being clear about one's priorities. And in keeping with one's priorities, one's behavior must be. So one must live one's life doing things in conformity with one's priorities. And one must have clear priorities because of one's firm commitment to the attainment of jnanam. This is what is meant by the word apramadaha. Suppose priority means what? Somebody comes and asks you, today you have something else. Do you want to come? Because you're interested in that also. That may be important. It's also good. But if moksha jnanam is the important thing for you, then don't commit anything at this time of Sanskritam Vedanta class. So priority is not very clear. See, going for a walk is very important for your health. Going for a walk is important. Eating is important. And entertaining friends is important. Even attending Sanskritam class is important. Both the priority, then what should be the priority? All are important things. But what should be the priority? So no, don't miss Upanishad class. Then attend anything else. Do everything, but the priority must be for this. Which means you see that it doesn't affect, the class doesn't become affected by your other things in life. Your priority, one must be clear about one's priorities. So firm commitment implies being clear about one's priorities. And being clear about one's priorities implies one's activities, one's lifestyle must be in conformity with one's priorities. This is what is said to be apramadaha. Okay. The third discipline, Shatam, we saw, na tapasa labhyaha means Atma cannot be attained in terms of jnanam. Atma is not available for the one who simply practices some tapas. Does it mean that tapas is not a qualification? No. Tapas is very important. One must practice tapas. Practicing tapas must be with an understanding of what tapas is. So practicing any tapas without understanding of the tapas will not help a person have the vision of the Atma. And the word tapas, of course, has different meanings in different contexts. And what should be the meaning of the word tapas in this context? So Shankara Bhagavatpada writes in his commentary, the meaning of the word tapas here should be taken as jnanam. Jnanam. The word tapas has many meanings, austerity, penance, etc. But here the word tapas means jnanam. What is jnanam? Knowledge of the self itself is tapas. So na tapasa means simply by practicing some penance, simply by practicing austerities, will not help a person attain the swarupam of the Atma. Here the moksha, for attaining moksha, jnanam is the only means. Therefore, tapas here means jnanam. What one needs is jnanam. Knowledge, because ignorance is the cause of bondage, knowledge alone can help resolve the ajnanam, Therefore, knowledge is the only means of attaining moksha. The important what a person needs for claiming the everlasting freedom which is already there, what one needs is Atma Swarupa Jnanam. Therefore, tapas here means Jnanam. Therefore, what is one must have fourfold qualifications, one must have Viveka Vairagyam, one must be disciplined, and one must have, of course, Mukshutvam. Then, if those qualifications are there, one must have Jnanam. Jnanam is next qualification. Now, Na Alingat. What is the word lingam means? If a person is not adequately dispassionate, one cannot attain the knowledge of the self. One cannot attain moksha. So Shankara Bhagavatpada gives the meaning. He says lingam means sannyasaha in this context. Now the question is, the word lingam has so many meanings. But here, why it is specifically taken as sannyasa? Why should the word lingam be taken as sannyasa? See, in the Vedic tradition, the total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, to the exclusion of everything else, is recommended. And there are people who totally commit, who commit themselves totally to the exclusive the pursuit of jnanam, to the exclusion of everything else, are said to be sannyasis. Who's a sannyasi? A sannyasi is not simply the one who wears saffron robes. Sannyasi is the one who is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam for the attainment of moksha, for discovering moksha, to the exclusion of all other pursuits, is said to be a sannyasi. And sannyasa itself, sannyasa ashramaha, or sannyasa itself, is totally dedicated for the attainment of moksha in terms of the pursuit of jnanam. So sannyasa is totally dedicated for the pursuit of jnanam. Let us understand briefly here. We have four ashramas. Of all the four ashramas, Brahmacharya ashramaha is exclusively for sparing one's time for the study of the shastram. So Brahmacharya ashramaha is a stage when one must live one's life as a student. A student is the one who is studious. And the studious is the one, the disciple who is disciplined, one who is focused, one who is not distracted by any problems of life. That is why brahmacharis are not supposed to involve themselves in any household problems or even politics also. Students should not involve themselves in politics. They must be focused. And because of the focus in their studies, the mind is clean, that the mind is not polluted, even though not absolutely pure. All the time, mind is only in the shastram. Therefore, they become relatively mentally pure. And because that mental purification, because their commitment in mind is placed only in the shastram, they also have Brahma virtues. They have a certain glow on their face. It's a Brahmacharya ashrama. Then Grihastha Ashramaha Of course, only in this Vedic tradition, these ashramas or ashrama dharma is prescribed. Ashramas are mentioned. And grihastha ashramaha is the ashrama wherein a person of grihastha ashrama involves himself in all sorts of activities. All sorts of means activities. Involves himself in performing one's duties. And thereby, by performing one's duties and activities, a person of grihastha ashrama becomes the contributor for the sustenance of the people of rest of the ashramas also. Whereas sannyasa ashramaha is the life of sannyasa ashramaha implies living a life of renunciation. What do you renounce? Renunciation of all pursuits. That's why I said total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of all other pursuits is sannyasaha. And next question comes, is it must that one should renounce everything? Why should one renounce everything in life? Why should one renounce all other pursuits? Why should one renounce all other pursuits? Why should one pursue only jnanam? See, renunciation of all other pursuits is artha. A sannyasi cannot be a pursuer of artha. A sannyasi cannot be a pursuer of pleasures. No. You're still interested in pleasures means your mind is not focused. A sannyasi cannot be a pursuer of. Of course, a sannyasi's life definitely is in conformity with dharma. A sannyasi should live a life of dharma. He will not go against dharma. And artha kama pursuit, sannyasi's basic needs, food, shelter, and other things should be taken care of. Therefore, if the basic needs are taken care of, sannyasi need not really focus on pursuing artha kamas. And sannyasi can focus only on the pursuit of jnanam. So renunciation or exclusion of all other pursuits is mainly for pursuing only jnanam. For exclusive pursuit of jnanam, all the pursuits become excluded. This is not only sannyasi. We see many scientists who are sitting in the labs, who are involved, very focused in their research. And they also live sort of sannyasis like, of course, they may not be pursuing, they may not be given to the pursuit of jnanam, but they are given to the pursuit of some jnanam, of jnanam within the realm of the material world as a scientist. And then those who are given to the pursuit of jnanam within the realm of the material world are said to be scientists. And even they become very focused, they are not given to the pursuits of other things. Therefore, the person who is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam naturally becomes a renunciate. That is what is meant by the word lingam. Therefore, the word sanya, linga, means sannyasaha. So sannyasaha does not mean wearing a saffron robe or going and begging for food from others' houses. No. Of course, sannyasi is allowed to go and beg for food. Sannyasi can go, but still, sanya, what is implied by the sannyasa is the total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam to the exclusion of all other pursuits. If you are totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, all the time if you spend in studying shastra, understanding the teachings, then you are a sannyasi. It's a, so sannyasa is a mental one must go through sannyasa in one's life. One must be sannyasi mentally. If you are purushartha nischeha, you are committed to the pursuit of jnanam, and you feel always you spare your time for studying the shastram to the best of your ability, then there is sannyasa. Okay. Again, we should understand sannyasaha, antara sannyasaha. Antara sannyasa means one must be sannyasa, one must have sannyasa in one's mind. Suppose if a person frees himself from the hold of, I tell you, ajnani is a real sannyasi. Ajnani is a real sannyasi. The most exalted real sannyasi is a wise person. Know why? Ajnani, who has the jnanam, who has naturally, effortlessly got his ahankara, mamakara, who has got his I sense, my sense, and all these emotions resolved for good. The person who is free from ignorance, whose mind is free from the hold of ignorance, because of his wisdom, jnanam, becomes free from ahankara, becomes free from mamakara, I sense and my sense. And such a person who is free from ahankara and mamakara naturally becomes free from the hold of all emotions, likes and dislikes, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety, jealousy. A person naturally, effortlessly becomes free from the hold of all emotions. Such a jnani who is free from the hold of all emotions, who is free from ahankara and mamakara, who has resolved his wrong notions about the self, who is in the wake of the jnana, who got his I sense, wrong identity, ahankara, mamakara resolved, such a jnani is a real exalted sannyasi. Such a person has understanding is also what? Everything is Bhagavan. There's nothing sannyasi. Otherwise, even without jnanam also, if a person, because of his maturity, even without having jnanam, because of one's maturity, if a person is able to see, Bhagavan is the one who determines everything. Bhagavan is the one who ordains everything. Bhagavan is the real, everything is Bhagavan, the only possessor, owner, ordainer, restorer is only Bhagavan. If everything is Bhagavan, then I am not anything here. If a person has such, because the maturity of a person's understanding, he has antara sannyasa, inner sannyasaha. Because the person also has, see, even every karma yogi has certain degree of sannyasa. Why? Whatever comes in life is Bhagavan's prasadam. What I'm doing is also for Bhagavan. Certain degree of sannyasa even a karma yogi has. Okay. Therefore, in jnanam, naturally one becomes exalted sannyasa. And in order to attain that jnanam, when a person becomes totally committed, he becomes a sannyasi. That is the, this one must understand sannyasa. Therefore, this all of all the this mantra, as I already said, highlights four virtues as the qualifications for attaining the vision of one's own surupam, for attaining moksha. Even here in this mantra says, attaining the knowledge of Atma, nothing but attaining the surupa of moksha. Therefore, the four virtues present in this verse as four qualifications are balam, inner emotional strength. Emotional strength implies having mumukshutvam, Vivekaha, Vairagyam, Shamad Shatka Sampattihi. Having fourfold qualifications. Then, Apramadaha implies firm, unshakable commitment to one pursuit of knowledge. Then, Tapas implies the knowledge of the self. And the Lingam implies renunciation, sannyasaha. All these are important virtues, which are said to be important qualifications. Only then a person can discover moksha. And here you must make a note that in this mantra, the words used convey double meaning, double negative. In this mantra, the words used have implies a double negative. So pramada, apramadaha, alingaha, etc. So where the word pramada is used, we must take it as apramada. Where linga, alinga is used, we should take it as linga. So Nayamatma Balahinena Labhyaha means the everlasting moksha cannot be attained at all unless we have these four virtues. That is the meaning. Ayamatma Balahinena Nalabhyaha. So without fourfold qualifications, without having adequate emotional strength, one cannot attain moksha. Moksha is not available. Atma is not available. So pramadatna means without firm commitment, atma jnanam, atma cannot be attained. Moksha cannot be discovered. I already explained this. Pramadat. Acha pramadat. One must have apramadaha means one must have commitment. Then tapasa va api alingat. So without jnanam, moksha is impossible. Attainment of jnanam is attainment of moksha. Then alingat means without certain degree of sannyas, without being total commitment, and without sannyasa, without mental renunciation, also one cannot attain jnanam and moksha. He said, etaihi upayehi yaha yatate. The person whoever makes adequate, appropriate efforts, being endowed with these fourfold qualifications. Okay. Now, next question is, a person makes appropriate, adequate efforts means what? The person who is given to strictly, seriously. If a person has all these fourfold qualifications, if a person is endowed with these four virtues as four qualifications, balam, apramadaha, sannyasaha, etc., then the person must go through, make appropriate, adequate efforts. One must go through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Whoever goes through, such a person, yaha vidwan, such a person alone, vidwan bhavati, means he becomes a jnani, he becomes a wise person. For such a person, tasya yeshaha atma brahma dhama vishate. His atma means what? This mind, the jiva, brahma dhama vishate, enters into the absolute reality, absolute abode. So brahma dhama means param brahma, paramatma. So what it says, tasya atma param Brahma Dhamma Vishate means that the Jivatma becomes one with Paramatma. Jivatma becomes one with Paramatma. Jivatma merges into Paramatma means you be very careful. The word Vishate means enters. Enters implies merges. Merges means Jivatma can never merge with Paramatma because Jivatma is already one with Paramatma. Jivatma is never away from Paramatma. See, wave can never merge into the ocean because wave is never away from the ocean. Wave is already one with the ocean. Similarly, Jivatma is already one with Paramatma. Jivatma can never merge. The merging merger implies that discovering the fact that I'm already non-separate from Paramatma is becoming one with Paramatma. Therefore, there's no physical distance between Jivatma and Paramatma. The distance is caused by ignorance. So in the wake of the clear jnanam, one sees that the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma caused by ignorance becomes resolved. Okay, there's no time distance or spatial distance between Jivatma and Paramatma. Ignorance is the distance. The distance is caused by ignorance. When the ignorance is resolved, naturally the distance becomes Paramatma and Jivatma becomes resolved. Therefore, Jivatma, Paramatma, understanding the Jivatma being non-separate from Paramatma is Jivatma becoming one with Paramatma. Jivatma entering into Paramatma. Which means, which I already said in the very beginning, so distinguishing the self from the body, mind, sense, complex, anatma, thereby seeing, resolving the over I in consciousness, understanding that consciousness being the only truth of the whole is Jivatma becoming one with Paramatma. And then if a person discovers, then there is mukti is not attained. Mukti is the very nature of the Atma. Being free from all limitations, being free from all blemishes, being free from all impurities is the nature of the Atma. For mukti is the surupam of the Atma. One can claim muktihi moksha as one's own surupam in the clear vision of the oneness of the Atma. As we always, Shankara Bhagavatpada gives his example. It's a very old traditional example. Pot space can never become one with the total space because there's no such a thing called pot space at all. When the pot breaks, the pot space as though becomes one with the total space. As though the pot space merges into the total space. The space is never divided. Space is always one undivided, partless whole. But the part enclosure seems to be dividing the space. It's a seeming division. There's no real division. The part is broken. The part space as though becomes one with the total space. Really speaking, part space, always part space is one with this total space, because there's no such a thing called pot space or total space. What is only space. In the same way, Jivatma, the truth of the individual self, is never away from a non-different, never different from the Paramatma, already one and the same. Therefore, here, in the wake of the clear vision, one discovers one's own self being non-separate from Paramatma. This discovering one's own self being non-separate from Paramatma essentially alone is said to be Atma Brahma Dhamma Vishate. Okay, with this, this mantra is completed. Let us read the mantra again. Nayamatma Balahinena Labhyaha Nacha Pramadat Tapaso Vapyalingat. Etairupayehi yatate yastu vidvan tasya yesha atma vishate brahma dhamma. Next mantra. Samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha krutatmano vitaragaf prashantaha te sarvagam sarvatav prapyadhiraha yuktatmana sarvameva vishanti samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha krutatmano vitaragaf prashantaha te sarvagam sarvatav prapyadhiraha yuktatmana sarvameva vishanti. So samprapya yenam rishayaha yenam samprapya yenam, let me briefly explain today, explain tomorrow again. Yenam samprapya, this fourth mantra really took some time because a lot of things had to be brought into the understanding of this verse. Even though all the known factors, still we have to remember all of them. Now, yenam samprapya means samprapya, having clearly understood. See, apnoti, prapnoti, samprapnoti. You get it? Prapnoti, apnoti, samprapnoti. Apnoti attains. Prapnoti also attains. Samprapnoti, two prefixes are there. Sam, samyak prakarshena apnoti. Samyak prakarshena apnoti is what samprapnoti. So samprapya means having clearly, doubtlessly ascertained, attained. Having clearly, doubtlessly attained. Having clearly, doubtlessly understood. Attained means having understood. Understanding is attaining. Samprapya is indeclarable participle. What does it mean? Having clearly, doubtlessly ascertained, understood the surupam of one's own self, the Atma, being non-different from Paramatma, the truth of the whole. Yenam samprapya. Yenam means Atmanam. Yenam samprapya. So having attained doubtlessly, clearly the vision of the essential oneness of the truth, the Atma, yenam samprapya rishayaha. Rishayaha, the seer of the truth, the rishis. Who are the rishis here? The seers of the truth. So rishihi means any seer of any subtle fact also is rishihi. But Atma Jnani is also glorified as Rishi here. So having attained, having understood clearly, doubtlessly the nature of Atma, having understood the Atma, the essential oneness of the truth, Rishayaha, the people of clear vision of the truth, Rishayaha. Rishayaha here means people of the clear vision of the absolute reality. Those people, jnana triptaha, they become absolutely satisfied with the attainment of jnanam. Jnana triptaha. See, absolute satisfaction is accomplishable only through jnanam. It is jnanam, knowledge alone will bless a person with absolute satisfaction. See what Shastan says, we dissatisfaction will be always there. Okay, you may say, I feel so satisfied. Okay, immediately after food, you will say you will feel very satisfied. After 4 hours of eating food, and you will say, you know what you will say. Until you feel hungry, you will feel satisfied after eating. So again, you'll feel hungry. So like that, dissatisfaction will be there forever. And these rishayaha are people of absolute satisfaction. So jnanena triptaha yeva really triptimantaha. Okay, they alone are absolutely satisfied people. Irrespective of what they have, what they do not have, they are people of absolute satisfaction. Jnana triptaha. Then kritatmanaha. Kritatmana is an interesting word in a way. Kritatmanaha means people of accomplishment. Kritatmanaha. See, those who have discovered the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own sorupam, are the people of real accomplishment. Kritatmanaha. You know why? After accomplishing the vision of the Atma, they need not achieve anything in life. Everything becomes achieved as it were. Everything becomes accomplished as it were. Therefore, they are kritatmanaha. The people of real accomplishment. Kritatmanaha. Then such people naturally say, as people of absolute accomplishment, having accomplished which everything has become accomplished as it were, the people of absolute satisfaction, the people who revel in the nature of fullness of happiness, therefore naturally they become dispassionate towards everything. See, sannyasi becomes dispassionate towards everything and he has passion for jnanam. The jnani is free from passion for jnanam also. Why? He has obtained it already. Vitaragaha means the vigataha ragaha yebhyaha. Te vitaragaha. Those from whom all attachments have gone. Why? The ragaha means attachment. Attachment means being emotionally dependent. Emotional dependence upon anything and everything else for one's happiness and security is attachment. What is attachment? Emotional dependence upon anything and everything for one's happiness and security is attachment. Emotional dependence upon wife or husband or relationships or families or children, or money, or wealth, possessions, job, anything is what? Emotional attachment. Emotional dependence is attachment. So being emotionally dependent on material things for one's happiness and security is attachment. Now these people have discovered the truth, so they know what happiness is. They are people of happiness. That people who revel in the vision of fullness of happiness. Therefore, as they are people of happiness, as they've discovered happiness being their own sorupam, they're not dependent, they are people of absolute security and happiness. Therefore, they're no more dependent on anything else in the world for happiness and security. Therefore, they are free from attachment. Vitaragaha. I made it clear? Yeah. The people of detachment, absolute detachment. See, detachment means, being detached means not being emotionally dependent on material things for one's happiness and security. The people who have discovered their own sorupam being happiness and fullness, who are reveling in the vision of fullness of happiness, who are absolutely secure, are no more dependent on anything in the world for happiness and security. Therefore, they're people of detachment. The people who are free from attachment. Vigata ragaha. Prashantaha. As they're free from attachment, naturally, they're absolutely peaceful. So what causes turbulence? It is emotional dependence. Being dependent on the external world of things, relationships for one's happiness and security. See, not being dependent on one's own Atma Swarupam, being dependent on Anatma for happiness and security is attachment. If attachment is, you can't help mentally, you will be disturbed. There'll be turbulence. And these jnanis, being free from attachment, they become absolutely free from mental turbulence they're people of absolute peace. Nothing, no external situation can stir their thoughts or disturb their peace. So they enjoy non-disturbable, everlasting, permanent, absolute peace. This is the Jnana Shakti. That is why we all crave for Jnanam, because of that. Prashantaha. Is it clear? Okay. The rest I'll explain tomorrow. So fifth mantra I have to tell a lot. You know, tomorrow, fortunately we have tomorrow also class. So tomorrow we'll explain. Is it clear? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.